From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made Friday, January 26th, when the New York State Board recommended changes to how servers get paid in the state. We're talking wait staff from high-end restaurants to diners to pizza delivery. In New York State, tipped workers must be paid a minimum wage of $5 an hour, with the understanding that tips have to carry them over the state's regular minimum wage of $8.75. The board is recommending that New York State raise the minimum wage for tipped workers to $7.50. What would the result be? Advocates say it would help many workers move out of poverty. The New York Times points out that most servers are women, and this proposal would help them. But Melissa Fleischett, who is the president of the New York State Restaurant Association, called the proposal, quote, an outrageous increase on small business owners. Some restaurant owners say this could lead to computer tablets replacing people in their establishments. Are we entering the age of tablet ordering? You can join the conversation this hour by calling 844-295-TALK, 844-295-TALK. 295-8255. I suspect some of our listeners used to be servers or might be servers right now. And my guest for the hour, Pierre Heroux, is the owner of Simply Crepes restaurants in two locations in Western New York, one location in North Carolina. Pierre, thanks for being here.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Jason Herbert is here. He's the owner of Edibles Restaurant in Rochester. Jason, thank you.
Thank you.
And Justin Cordello is here. He's a labor and employment attorney and the principal of the Cordello Law Firm in Rochester. Handles plenty of cases in this arena. Justin, thank you for being here.
Glad to be here, Evan.
Well, let me start. I'll start with you, Justin, and then we'll move around the table here. First of all, you've dealt with cases in this arena from, and we're going to be getting into the sort of the various cases and the kinds of cases you handle. But some people see this and they say, look, I don't know a whole lot of servers who are actually making less than minimum wage when it's all factored in. What do you make of this proposal?
I think this proposal is part of a larger social change that Governor Cuomo is interested in enacting in our state. It's important to point out that New York State will be joined by seven other states that have raised their minimum wage for hospitality employees.
All right. So, and to Justin's point on Governor Cuomo, here's a quote from last month. Governor says, quote, for far too long, wages for tipped workers in New York State have been too low. The wage board has recommended a course that begins to rectify that. So the governor does appear to be on board. It's not done yet. We're going to be talking about that as well. Jason Herbert, owner of Edibles Restaurant in Rochester, fair to call your restaurant a higher-end restaurant. What do you make of this proposal? What's the potential impact?
The impact could be devastating for a lot of restaurants. It's a really big increase, and it's, you know, like they said, the wage hasn't been adjusted for a while. To increase it by 50% is a huge increase for a restaurant.
Your staff, on a typical night, how many servers do you employ? How many tipped workers do you
tipped
employ?
Tipped workers? Probably about seven or eight.
Seven or eight tipped workers on a night. So for you, do you envision cutting staff, raising prices, nothing?
Yeah. I mean, we will definitely have to cut hours, probably not cut staff, menu adjustments, raising prices. But I think it's important to realize you just can't keep raising menu prices to adjust for, you know, cost of living and everything else going up.
Will we ever see a time when there are more tablets than actual people serving and taking orders? You hope not.
No. I mean, people are going out for an experience, not to use their iPad.
So that's well said. Pierre Heroux is the owner of Simply Crepes restaurants in a number of locations. First one opened in 2003 in Pittsburgh on Schoen Place, and since then has opened not only another location but one in North Carolina as well. Pierre, what do you see as the impact to raising the wage for tipped workers?
I believe there will be several things we're going to see. A combination of, I believe, price increases. There will be reduction in servers, hours. There will be tablets introduced.
Would you introduce tablets?
We will definitely test those. We've been to, if you go to Applebee's today, if you go to Chili's, you'll find that the fast casual restaurants will have those. And we will definitely experiment with those. We're not really sure whether or not that's what our clients want, so we'll probably test it, see how it works, and react accordingly. But at the end of the day, this increase is monstrous. It's monumental, and it's going to be. It will have to be dealt with. There's no way. Profit margins in the restaurant industry are very thin as it is, and this is just going to wipe out most profits that any most restaurants make at this point.
Justin, in terms of the work that you do as an employment attorney, my own experience, and at least I think in some of our conversations, you've indicated that you think the vast majority of restaurant owners are not trying to scam a worker by saying, okay, here's $5 as a minimum wage, but, you know, whatever the case may be, you're not making up the difference in gratuity, but that's okay. I'm going to get away with it. You don't think most restaurant owners are doing that?
No, Evan. I actually come from a family that has owned several restaurants, both in New York State and other states. So I'm acutely aware of the challenges that restaurant owners have. However, the law is what the law is, and the law requires that if you're going to pay folks a sub-minimum wage, there's a number of prerequisites that you have to follow in order to take that enormous cost savings. I mean, think about it, Evan. What other industry can you point to where customers are subsidizing the company's labor force? It's pretty unheard of in today's day. And that's why seven other states, including California, Oregon, Minnesota, Hawaii, have completely gotten rid of this tip credit rate of pay and require that all employees, regardless of what industry they're working in, get at least the minimum wage.
Most of your work in this area deals with sort of related cases, but maybe not directly related to a worker who gets $5 an hour minimum wage and is under the minimum. Most of your cases deal with sort of other and kind of related, whether it's overtime, tip sharing, those kind of things, which we can get into later. Is that right?
That's right, Evan. To take this enormous financial advantage that restaurants in New York State have, where customers are subsidizing their workforce, the law requires them to jump through a number of hoops, and you've mentioned a few of those. And I see it from time and time again. Restaurant employers don't adhere and comply fully with all the hoops they
need
to.
He's not talking about the people in this room.
Of course not.
Absolutely not.
Of course not.
But in terms of the hoops, Pierre Heroux, too many hoops for business owners, for restaurant owners in this state? Are there too many regulations? Is it too complicated? I mean, you own two restaurants here and one in North Carolina. What are the differences?
Let me first deal with the I'll deal with that in a second.
Yeah, sure.
This quote-unquote huge advantage is bordering on not well-educated, as an opinion, in my opinion. It is not a huge advantage. At the end of the day, our servers in our restaurant typically make $15 an hour to $25 an hour, depending on what shifts they're working and so forth. For the ill-informed to suggest that that our patrons are subsidizing our business is preposterous, to say the least. And I would just suggest that at this point, it would be best if people got educated on really what's happening. $15 to $25 an hour, as we all know, the minimum wage is $8.75 an hour right now. Projected to go up to $9 an hour at the end of this year, and possibly if the governor has his wishes, we'll get to $10.50 an hour. At that point, those are the back of the house employees. These are employees that actually prepare the meals, clean your dishes, keep the restaurant clean, and so forth. To shift this $2.50 an hour, or take it from a pool that could otherwise be used for full-time employees that work for us is absolutely irresponsible, in my opinion. And so I understand social change and so forth, but this is insane.
Okay,
now, so let me get back to your question.
I especially want to hear someone with your perspective, which is sort of a unique perspective here with restaurants in multiple states, but I understand the point you're making. Justin, do you disagree with his take on that? I mean, obviously you do. You're saying that you think it creates an advantage for a business owner. And Pierre's saying our margins are thin enough to begin with.
Yeah, I'm going to set aside the fact that I think I was just called uneducated and misinformed. but I think what Pierre didn't say is that right now, Pierre's customers are making up the difference between $5 and $8.75. Okay, that's $3.75 that Pierre doesn't have to pay. So that's what this issue really comes down to. And there are seven other states in the country that have gotten rid of this tip credit rate of pay. New York, the restaurant industry is thriving here. We have restaurants that are doing well. It's an industry that seems to be doing very, very well from everything that I've looked at. So if a restaurant is going to take advantage of that rate of pay, then they need to adhere and comply with the law.
But the one thing, I don't think that that is untrue, but is it fair to look at this industry and say, that's the way it works. That's the way this industry can survive. And that has always been the case with this industry, that if we change the model, we could see unintended consequences that could be very negative.
Governor Cuomo was elected by a landslide. So he seems to have somewhat of a mandate here to make these changes. And when you go to a restaurant in California, Oregon, Minnesota, Hawaii, I'm sure that experience is very similar to an experience you'd have here in New York State. So what I don't understand is why the restaurant industry thinks as though the industry in New York State is going to implode if these changes are made.
Okay.
Let's be clear. Governor Cuomo won by a landslide in New York City. He did not win every other county in the state and across the state.
All right, well, we don't need to parse election results. That's for another day. But Pierre, before I get over to Jason as well, because I know to some degree Jason may say, leave me out of this, but I'm sure we can drag you into this as well. Pierre, you own restaurants here in North Carolina. The next restaurant you open will be here or in North Carolina?
There is a high degree of probability it will be in North Carolina.
What's the difference in owning businesses here versus there?
The tip credit in the tipped wage in North Carolina is $2.13 an hour.
Which is the federal minimum, so which means North Carolina has chosen not to raise it from the federal minimum.
The federal minimum wage is $7.25 per hour.
But the federal minimum wage for tipped credit workers is $2.13, is that
$2.13,
right? $2.13,
correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Best I can tell in digging through the numbers, 13 states stick with that federal minimum at $2.13. North Carolina is one of them. New York State again at $5. The top wage states, California at $9, Alaska $8.75, Oregon $9.25, Washington $9.47. You're not going to open a restaurant in Washington State?
Not in the near future.
Okay. And so is that the biggest difference to you between here and North Carolina, or is there anything else?
Financially, it is a huge – obviously, that's the biggest difference. That is the biggest difference. The state of North Carolina is considered to be a very friendly state to do business in, and what we have seen has supported all that. There are no advertisements in the state of North Carolina that say we're open for business. They just are open for business, and they support businesses. Probably the other biggest item that is very favorable for restaurants and other businesses, just the amount of red tape and legislation and hoops you have to go through to get.
What's an example?
Well, the liquor license, for example. To get a liquor license, typically in New York State, just regular Joe person going and filling out the 1-inch application, getting fingerprinted, FBI background checks, and so forth. Same application. Both states have the exact same application. In fact, I think that the state of North Carolina may have plagiarized and just copied the New York State applications. They're that much the same. But the reality is, in New York State, if you were to submit this to the New York State ABC, you will get probably have to wait somewhere between 6 and 9 months to actually get an approval. Unless if you pay an attorney $3,000-$4,000, you might be able to get it within 30 days. But typically, it's after you've opened. It's going to be, like I said, it'll be at a minimum 30 days if you pay an extra $3,000-$4,000 to make it happen. In North Carolina, I completed the application. The day that I opened, I had received or 2 days before I had opened, I'd received the approval from the police department that the background checks had cleared. I took the application to my to the ABC office in Raleigh, North Carolina. And 20 minutes later, I walked out with the application, with a permit. I called my beer and wine distributors. They came in, brought in the beer and wine, and we were selling beer and wine for dinner service that day, that fast.
All right, so those are some of the differences that you see, and so you do plan to potentially expand there.
We will expand additional restaurants. The scale is tipping heavily towards North Carolina for our next expansion.
Jason Herbert of Edibles, again, it's in Rochester. You've been there for 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from what I'm hearing Justin Cordello, an employment attorney, say is, I don't think he's denigrating the work that you're doing. I think he's just pointing out that the model says, if your servers say they make $20 an hour, mm-hmm. well, three quarters of that is covered by your customers, and that could be perceived as an advantage. I mean, do you view that as an unfair characterization?
Oh, yeah, definitely. If you saw my bank account, you'd you'd agree.
Okay, but that is true that they are covering that wage. I guess the point is, that may be a fact, but that doesn't mean that you could exist or the industry could thrive elsewhere. Do you view this model as being the only model that works here?
I view it as a model that works. You know, I mean, I'm from Australia, and the minimum wage is $16 an hour. And servers there get $16 an hour. And the problem is you don't know who your server is half the time. You're not getting the kind of service you get in the United States. And when I have friends and family that come here, they're blown away by the service. And the reason is because it's a tipped system. People really earn their money. A great server will earn great money. Someone who makes $16 an hour could just do the bare minimum.
Yeah, I understand that point. I mean, I recall my first travels to Europe, and I was informed, you really don't have to tip here. I mean, and I'm sitting there in central Italy going, I really should be tipping, because we had fabulous service here.
Right.
And so they said, well, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. maybe a euro, maybe a couple of euro, but it's not part of the model. We had fabulous service up and down from when I've been to Europe. I'm not discounting the point you make. I've never been to Australia.
Mm.
But you see a very different system where it's $16 an hour, no tips at all in Australia?
There are tips. People are beginning to tip.
But it's not an assumed 15, 18, 20% more for great service. No.
Like here, you have one server. They know the ins and outs of your table. In Australia, you might have three or four servers come to your table. Well, what did you order? Okay, let me check. And it's kind of all over the place. I mean, you do get great service. I'm not saying that there isn't great service. But in the United States, you know, you really do get great service. And I believe it's based on the tip system.
Well, and I'm going to get to some listener comments who've been sending some comments online in just a moment, because they talk about the value of service and what people do expect when they go out to eat, et cetera. It's interesting that this issue does seem to divide some people, not just in this room. But let me read a few comments here. Rochester Real Beer on Twitter says, I've yet to meet a restaurant owner who thinks his restaurant is underregulated or his employees are underpaid. Jim says, how about paying a living wage? And I think, again, that this is where the conversation diverges, because if you are a pizza delivery person, or if you work in a diner, it's probably different than working at Edibles or Simply Crepes. And so I think there's a bit of a one-size-fits-all approach to this wage that may make it difficult to talk about. I mean, Justin, surely we see somebody who works at Pierre's establishment may be different than somebody who works at the Highland Diner, which may be different than somebody who's delivering pizzas.
Exactly, Evan. I mean, Simply Crepes and Edibles, great restaurants, smaller restaurants, though. You compare that to Papa John's. I ask myself, why are we subsidizing Papa John's and the delivery people? Why do Papa John get to pay those folks less than minimum wage and allow the tips to make up the rest of their supposed minimum wage? And that's exactly right. It's not a one-size-fit-all.
It's a different
issue.
Kind of job. I mean, with pizza delivery, you expect your pizza to be delivered, period. I mean, there's not a quality of service or interaction or help with the menu. So, I don't know, maybe it shouldn't be under sort of a tipped wage system.
Currently it is, though. Currently, Papa John's employees can make $5.65 an hour, and the deliveries tips that they get have to make up that difference.
Let me also remind our listeners, and I see we're going to bring in just a moment, we're going to bring in Pete Myers, who's the director of the Tompkins County Worker Center. If you want to join the program and join the conversation, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. And the joy of my job is bringing together people like Justin Cordello, a labor and employment attorney in Rochester, Jason Herbert, owner of Edibles Restaurant in Rochester, Pierre Heroux, who's the owner of Simply Crepes in Pittsford, and again, as we've been saying, in a number of locations here and elsewhere. And they may disagree, but I bet you Justin still ends up going out to eat with these. So that's the nice thing about all, everything here. we may disagree on some of these issues, but
we'll have a crepe together.
we can break bread. We can break crepes together. We can break borscht together at Edibles if we could. I want to read a couple more comments online here. Rochester Real Beer follows up to say, in addition to the sub-minimum wage, how many restaurants offer benefits like health insurance or vacation? Almost zero. Right or wrong, Pierre?
We offer benefits. Yeah. All of our what we found. We've been open now for 13 years now, and what we found about 10 years ago is if we wanted to retain and attract and retain good, solid employees, we needed to provide them with healthcare benefits and vacation pay, because at the end of the day, this is their chosen career. It's an awesome career that we feel very much that, you know, to make food that you're proud of and to serve people the food that you're proud of can be an awesome career. So we've made a conscious decision to provide our full-time employees with those benefits. And it's really, we've noticed that our retention rates have been significantly higher than what we hear from other restaurants and so forth.
Okay, Jason, you're agreeing. Yeah. Essentially the same scenario?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. And I have a private message via Twitter, so I'm not going to reveal who sent it. I don't know if it was meant to be private. It's a local business owner. Who writes, if you want to help the servers stop taxing their credit card tips. Anybody agree to say, I don't know. Again, this is not my expertise. Jason?
Yes, that's the IRS you've got to mess with there.
Pierre, fan of the IRS?
Yeah, that's help the IRS, yeah. Call them up.
That's out of your.
Yeah.
And Justin, you see any solution to that kind of a comment?
The law allows for it. So it's just, that's just how it is currently under New York labor law. The regulations contemplate that.
So, in other words, that could change?
My understanding is currently it's not part of the proposal from the wage board.
That's income. That is considered, the tips are considered income. And just like any other form of income, the IRS is going to
tax it.
Get their portion of it.
Yeah, I think that would be a hard sell.
Yeah, that would be.
Dan on Twitter says, with 213, the tipped minimum, how well do the servers do? Are tips greater? Are food prices better? A lot more to make up for the servers. Dan, I'll let Jason and Pierre jump in with that, but how well do the servers do varies widely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And yes, there's definitely more to make up. But Pierre, if you could pay $2.13 at Simply Crepes, would you?
Yeah. Yes, no question. Now, here's the thing. So I have a restaurant in Raleigh, and I have a restaurant in New York. Do my servers make less in total income? The answer is no. So at the end of the day, I believe people are tipping more in Raleigh. I don't know if it's because maybe it's a little more affluent area, but certainly when I look at the average rate, the average wage that my servers are making, when I take all including their base hourly rate plus their credit card tips and the cash tips that they report, their incomes, their total hourly rates are about the same. State to state.
Jason, are you concerned that if the state raises the tipped minimum wage and diners at Edibles know that, they may tip less because they'll say, hey, these servers are already being paid X. Could that hurt your servers?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure whether they would do that. I'm just worried about the financial impact on the restaurant. You know, the less money we have to give a good experience is the less money we have to give a good experience. And if our wages is gone up by 50%, you know, it's going to affect the customer. You're talking about subsidizing where, you know, the tipped system is subsidizing. The customer's going to pay for it either way. It's just with the tip system, the customer has a more control on how much they're going to subsidize.
Let me also ask Justin, and we'll go around the room with this. The New York Times, their editorial board wrote an editorial called, "It is time to end sub-minimum wages." And quoting from the New York Times editorial board, quote, experience and research from 8 states that have ended subminimum tipped wages show no adverse effects on growth or jobs in the restaurant industry. What they do show is reduced poverty among the largely female workforce of servers. So, in other words, Justin, it sounds like people have been trying to study what actually happens here. And I haven't had the time to wade too much into every other state that's doing it, but maybe some either cautionary tales or things to learn from other states.
Evan, when we started this conversation, I mean, this is part of a larger social change that we're seeing in our country where as the New York Times is reporting, it's the end of sub-minimum wage, and it's going to be very painful for business owners like Pierre, like Jason, who have relied on that way of doing business to make a change. But other states have done it. Other countries do it all the time. And it will be painful, and things will change. But these other states have shown that at the end of the day, the restaurant industry continues. Business owners still make money, and employees still make money.
Okay. Pierre Heroux, do you dispute the New York Times saying they've studied the eight states that have ended subminimum tipped wages that show no adverse effects on growth or jobs in the restaurant industry?
I can't dispute. I've wondered if there was ever any analysis that was done, a complete unbiased analysis done.
You're saying it sounds like it's hard to believe that for you, that there's no adverse effect.
The question is, who defines what is adverse? And I guess in the definition of the New York Times, a generally liberal newspaper, my guess is adverse is how many jobs it impacted. One may want to take a look a little deeper and maybe look from a more conservative perspective and maybe look at what impact it had on the restaurant operators themselves. How many restaurants remained open? What types of restaurants remained open? In terms of, was there a shift in the model where there were more quick service, fast casual, where you have fewer tipped workers in the workforce than what you would see today? I don't know. I mean, looking at the details, I think, would be really important. I don't have those details to be able to argue one way or the other.
All right, I'm late for a break, and when we come back, we're going to bring in Pete Myers, the director of the Tompkins County Worker Center that has also weighed in on this. Justin Cordello is a labor and employment attorney and the principal of the Cordello Law Firm in Rochester. He's here. Jason Herbert, the owner of Edibles Restaurant in Rochester, is here. Pierre Heroux, owner of Simply Crepes, is here. And we're talking about New York State's proposal. A board is proposing that New York State raise the minimum wage for tipped workers from $5 an hour to $7.50. Does it pave the way for more tablet ordering and services, less human interaction? Or is this the change that is deserved and necessary? Let's take that break. Come back. Your phone calls as well next on Connections. Coming up in our second hour, 13 Wham's Don Elhart, Ginny Ryan, and Doug Emblidge join us. WROC-TV's Maureen McGuire joins us. Local news anchors talking about the news anchor brand and the effect of Brian Williams. Should he be fired? What is the lesson for all of us in journalism? How can we maintain public trust? Join the conversation with the anchors next hour.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from Rohrbach Brewing Company's restaurant and tap room, serving Rochester for over 20 years. A dining experience with handcrafted ales and lagers offered 7 days a week, located on Buffalo Road. More information available online at rohrbachs.com.
Welcome back here, and if you want to join the program, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255. On the line with us is Pete Myers, who's the director of the Tompkins County Worker Center. Pete, how are you?
Good. It's kind of snowy down here in Ithaca, but it's probably that way in London.
Well, I have news for you, Pete. You are not alone, my friend. It's snowy everywhere today. You've heard much of this conversation. Why don't you tell us where Tompkins County Worker Center comes in on this issue and why?
Well, my organization started out 12 years ago as a living wage coalition, working very feverishly on living wage issues as we do to this day. We believe that the state minimum wage for tip workers, even with the proposed increase, which we do support, doesn't go far enough because there are too many tip workers who work hard, play by the rules, but still cannot support themselves or their families to allow them to get ahead. I will point out that the Economic Policy Institute back in 2011 said that the median hourly wage for restaurant service nationally is $8.92 an hour. That is unacceptable in our minds, and I'm actually very curious, the Worker Center is curious, why the restaurant industry is this accepted industry that allows workers to get tipped. I mean, why don't we tip you, Evan, and hope you get enough tips to survive?
Well, you want to respond to that, Pierre and Jason? You're in the restaurant industry. He's saying, why this model? How do you draw the line?
This is an industry where you have individuals have a direct impact on the experience that our patrons have. At this point right now, I think the experience can be fabulous and rewarded fabulously, and or it can be mediocre and rewarded meagerly. And customers in today's day are very, very they're rightfully
discerning.
Discerning, yeah, exactly. And they should be, because if a server is not good in what he or she does, and is not knowledgeable of the menu, not knowledgeable of the establishment and what's there, then quite candidly they probably need to find different employment. But that's, you know, if they're good, then they deserve the high wages that they get, which, like I said earlier, the our employees tend to get at a low end $15 an hour, and on the higher end $25+ an hour is what they're getting, and which is I think that's above the living wage. I'm not exactly sure what living wage is these days, but it seems like it might be.
Well, and this brings up a number of threads here. In a moment, I'm going to go to Paul Narandicote, who has a question on tipping. Jack on Twitter says, what about the restaurants that have lower average bills or no alcohol? Shouldn't those servers make a living? And, you know, Pete, let me kick it back to you and say Pierre and Jason are maybe in a different boat than the kind of establishments that Jack on Twitter is talking about. Should it be more distinguished? Is this a one-size-fits-all, raising the minimum wage for tipped workers from $5 to $7.50 an hour, that could hurt people like Jason and Pierre while helping workers at the lower end of the scale?
Well, I think that's, you know, it is a point taken. I mean, we all know the stories about waitstaff that's making $25, $30 an hour. There's a restaurant in Ithaca where we just told me she's making $35 an hour. I would actually, while that's wonderful, you know, I would actually think that's more the exception than the rule. I mean, there's a lot of restaurants out there that are not high-end restaurants. There are a lot of delivery drivers out there that are barely making ends meet. But I don't know what the answer to that question is. I mean, that's a good question.
Let me get to the phones, because this, again, as I said, has opened up a number of questions on who is a tipped worker, how do these tip pooling work. I know Justin Cordello's worked on these issues, and there occasionally are questions or disparities. Let me bring in Paul Narandicote, who's got a question. Go ahead, Paul.
I've always viewed tipping as an etiquette type of thing, and I've always tipped generously, at least 20-30%. I have people commenting, what are you giving so much money to them for? What am I actually supposed to think of this as a consumer? Is it still an etiquette type of thing, or am I not supposed to tip anymore? I mean, really, what am I supposed to do? What's the accepted method? How's that?
Well, Jason Herbert's going to answer that for all future. You're going to settle tipping for all future matters. Go ahead,
you should
Jason.
Keep tipping.
Paul, stay there. It's a fair question, and people do it all the time.
Question.
How would you answer it for him?
I think you should keep tipping. The tip system works. You're tipping for the experience, and if you have an amazing experience, and I don't know whether you have the same server when you go out to eat, they get to know you, they know everything about you, what you like, what you don't like, that's great that you tip 25-30%. This proposal, I think, will hurt that system.
It sounds like it's making people wonder if they're supposed to keep doing that.
Well, it just exactly what we were talking about. You know, if people are going to be earning this higher wage, our customers going to be, well, I'll just tip 15%. They're already making, quote-unquote, a living wage.
Paul, any other follow-up there?
I think overall, poorly designed by the state. If you take a worker, let's say McDonald's, they don't get any tips. They're not in a tip business. I think they should have separated the businesses. I really do. And to me, you know, I'm an older guy. I kind of like the old way. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but I kind of like the old way.
Paul, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And Justin, you had mentioned the idea of this is part of what appears to be kind of a social change. Is it possible? There's no way to know if people like Paul are going to see this change and say, well, I'm going to tip less because they're getting paid more now as a minimum wage. But let's just, as a thought experiment, let's say it's 5%. Let's say the average server at Simply Crepes or Edibles or somewhere else is going to make 5% less because of the mindset of the customers based on raising the sub-minimum wage. Is it possible that, as a society, you make a value choice? You say, okay, somebody who's making $25 an hour will now make $22.50, whatever. But somebody who was making right near the minimum wage is going to make, you know, 10-20% more, and they need it. Is that part of this, or am I reading too much into that? Do we accept the higher end could make a little less, and those at the bottom could make a little more?
I think it's a case-by-case determination. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Paul was getting at. The way you view an edibles or simply crepes is different than the way you view a McDonald's experience. So you really have to look at the individual restaurant. I agree with Paul. When I go to a restaurant, I tip out of etiquette. But what you start to realize when you start analyzing these laws, and like myself, I have a lot of clients who work in this industry, you realize you're actually paying them. If you don't tip, you're not allowing them to be paid properly. So you're almost doing it out of guilt on some level, even if the service is just standard. And, you know, for me, a lot of times the service is just standard. It's not exceptional, but you still want to tip that 15-20% because you know this individual is making at best $5 an hour.
See, that's not true. When you work at a restaurant, if you don't make enough tips to bring you to the minimum wage, we do supplement that.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
When you right. say that, that's,
Jason,
that's
Jason,
just
let
not
me
correct.
Tell you something. Believe it or not, some restaurants don't do
well,
that.
We're talking about restaurants that abide by the law.
Okay. Well, I deal with a lot of restaurants issue. That don't abide by
but
the law, and that's the problem with the way
you're making a blanket statement up in front of two restaurant owners that supplement income when the server doesn't meet minimum wage. So they get what the state already pays.
And the amazing thing is right now, what you're suggesting is the state should take the peanut butter approach and apply a broad stroke, raise the minimum wage by $2.50 per hour on servers because there are a few bad apples out there in the industry that just we have to punish the entire industry for this because of a few bad apples. That's just absolutely insane. Absolutely insane.
Yeah, I'm not looking at this as a punishment. I'm looking at New York State to fall in line with the other states in this country that have already raised the minimum wage. And Pierre, you might double over when you hear this, but the current proposal is a compromise. There's still going to be sub-minimum wages in New York State. We're only talking about it going up to $7.50 an hour, not $8.75. So the restaurant industry has already gotten a great compromise already. But it's never enough.
It's
if
only,
it was up to you, there would never
50,
be a change.
It's only a 50% increase in wages. That's all. It's not, I mean, it's like if I got a 50% increase in my salary this year, wow, that would be insane. That would be awesome. But how many people actually in the working population, I would love to know how many people actually get a 50% increase in their wages.
But it's not in their effective wages.
50%, again, 5 to 750. That's 50%.
That's what the state minimum is. If you take out gratuities, it's 50% of the state minimum, but it's not effectively. I mean, a Simply Crepes worker is not getting a 50% raise.
Pierre, you said it yourself. Right? Your restaurant employees in North Carolina make the same amount as they make in New York State.
Right. Correct.
So where's the 50% raise?
Well, Pierre has to pay 50%.
The New York State,
exactly.
server will get a 50% raise in their base salary.
In the base salary. Okay. I want to get back to the phones. Joe Fairport. Joe, go ahead.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call, Evan. Love the show. This is a topic that hits pretty close to home. As I've been in food service since I was 16. Currently in food service distribution and done everything from back of the house as a chef to a server to a bar back. Done a little bit of everything. You know, one of the things that I think people really need to understand is that not every restaurant is McDonald's. Not every restaurant has a global company, a global brand to support the pay increase. So when you look at, like, your independent mom-and-pop restaurant down the block, you're looking at their minimum wage increase for their back-of-the-house employees, be it their chefs and their cooks. And then you're looking at the increase from their servers. All of a sudden, what is should be a fixed cost when you're doing your planning for your menu costs and your food costs, it's all rose greatly. Then when you factor into the ever-rising commodities markets for food products, whether it's your chicken, your pork, your beef, your dry goods, we've all seen an increase in the grocery stores, but it's even greater increase for the restaurant owner. And I know that because I'm in food service distribution. But you look at the domino effect that has, it also affects your sales reps who sell the product to the restaurant. It trickles down across the board, where this is really going to affect the whole industry on a large level, and it's going to affect a lot of people's jobs, because what's going to happen is your customer will only pay so much for a slice of pizza or a plate of pasta or a steak. Well, eventually it's going to get to a point where a restaurant owner is going to need to raise their prices so exponentially to keep up with their costs that the customer base won't bear the increase. And we may see a fantastic job market in the United States, the food service industry, is really going to become a bigger gamble than it already is.
Joe, I got to let the panel jump in. You've given us a lot of points. I appreciate the call. Jason, you've said, Joe's making a point that you made earlier, which is you're at a point where you feel like at Edibles, I don't know if you feel like you're at the ceiling, but you don't want to keep raising prices.
Absolutely not. We are at the ceiling. I mean, people will just not come in if we put our prices up to allow this to stay in business. For us to stay in business to do that, they just won't come in.
Okay, but tell me then what you're going to – it looks like this is going to pass. If the governor gets his way, and the governor often does, it's going to pass. What are you going to do?
Well, we'll have to abide by the law. Otherwise, we're going to be dealing with my friend opposite the table.
But are you going to absorb that, or what are you going to do?
We're going to try and absorb it, but it's once again, it's going to hurt our employees because where I might have 5 servers, 6 servers on a Saturday night, I'm going to have to get rid of 1 or 2. I'm going to have to stop them coming in from 3:30 and tell them to work doubly hard and get in at 4:30. It's not going to have the effect that they think it's going to have. It's actually going to hurt the employees in my restaurant.
We have a lot of calls. Now the phones are on fire. The online comments are on fire. I'm going to get through as many as I can as we go through the rest of the hour here. Tim in Pittsford. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, Evan. I agree with the owners here. My wife was a server in high school and college at all different kinds of restaurants, higher end and more casual. And I was always wondering how to tip, and she would get upset with me for tip as a former server for tipping too much for poor service. So I've been schooled a lot in this. But I'm more than happy to tip very heavy for good service because it is about the experience. I don't want to sit there and order from a tablet. That's not, I mean, when we go out to dinner, it's a special thing. And for most people, I think it is too. It's not a daily thing or a weekly thing. It's, you know, a special occasion, especially if you have kids. You probably know that as well.
But sure.
I can't see it having the effect that the governor wants it to have. I mean, if we know that a server is making more money, it's already costing us a decent amount of money to eat at that restaurant. It's probably a date night. You're probably going to see a movie or something. You're in for plus the babysitter. You know, if you're going to a nice restaurant, we like to do that because we don't get out much. It's going to cost more than $100. And then you're tipping on top of that. It's no chump change to just your normal consumer. I think a lot of people are missing out on the consumer aspect here, besides the fact that the owner is the one who has to pay the bills. You know, the consumer, like the previous caller said, is really going to decide what happens here. And I think I honestly think it's going to backfire on, well, I don't know. It doesn't affect the governor, but it's going to backfire on the people who want a larger wage for their employees. There's going to be less employees and lacking service.
Tim, thanks for the call. And right on line with Tim, Jake writes to us, my comments are that anyone that thinks tablets will replace servers is sadly mistaken. The logistics and costs of managing the IT infrastructure are not simple. And at the end of the day, someone still needs to bring you your food. Even as much as I love technology, the personal touch goes a long way to bring back repeat customers. But again, if you're just joining us, Pierre Heroux at Simply Crepe says you may see more of it. We're already seeing the Applebee's of the world go to tablets.
They're at Applebee's right now. Yeah,
for this reason,
I think what they're doing is they're there now. They're basically, if you go and use them, basically, if you need to call your server because you want to check out, you buzz your server to come back to check out. If you want to order you can order appetizers off of it. So it's beginning. I think what Applebee's has done is they've put the technology at the table. They're allowing consumers to play with it and get comfortable with it at this point. And eventually, if this law comes to be, I can almost assure you that Applebee's will do, basically will cut back on the number of servers that are in the dining room at any one time, and the servers will cover more tables with the assistance of this technology.
Let me ask Pete Myers, director of the Tompkins County Worker Center. You're hearing business owners here. You're hearing people like Tim in Pittsford say he thinks this will backfire, that there will be jobs cut, fewer people doing these jobs. Is that a realistic concern, and would that change your position at the Worker Center?
Well,
Evan, you know, I'm looking at a statistic from the National Restaurant Association in 2013. So the state of Washington has a tipped minimum wage right now of $9.19. Tipped minimum wage. And the projected restaurant industry employment growth in the next 10 years is close to 11%. So, I'm really concerned, and then I want to hear about the talk about the technology, about the tablets. You know, on one hand, that greatly concerns me, but there's a lot of other industries where that happens, you know, where people are being replaced by technology. And does that mean that people have to live close to poverty wages? And again, the average median wage for restaurateurs is $8.92 right now nationally. I know it's different than high-end restaurants, but I mean, I think we need to look at the whole picture.
Let me ask Justin Cordello, an employment attorney. There are issues, a lot of the issues you deal with when it comes to wages. Sometimes it's wage theft. Sometimes it's questions on overtime or pooling. We had a question from Martin online. I admit I've never understood if my tips for a great waiter are pooled or kept by that individual waiter. Do you deal with cases on question of pooling and that kind of thing?
All the time. That's one of the many problems with the current system we have is the way the employer can manipulate the tips, present company excluded, obviously. Some employers, what they'll do is they'll rely on the wait staff to do a lot of the janitorial and kitchen-related work. Now, when you're paying someone that sub-minimum wage rate, they need to be doing tip-producing work. What I find in my practice is a lot of restaurants will have these servers come in an hour, 2 hours before a restaurant open, and rely on them to clean the restaurant and do a lot of the kitchen work while still paying them that sub-minimum wage rate. And the same when the restaurant closes. And that's built into their business model. And this is true, I think, of the larger, more corporate chain-type restaurant where the whole bottom line is based on this lower wage rate, and they're using that lower wage rate to get a lot of work done that should be being paid at a minimum wage.
Well, maybe they'll say, but Justin, I can't have a waiter actually clean up a little?
A little, yes, but you can't have them come in for hours and do all the work that a janitor or a utility person should do. However, I see restaurants all the time that's built into their business model, having tipped employees doing non-tip producing work. The tip sharing and tip pooling is also an issue too, because as a customer, when you're tipping, you don't know exactly where that's going.
Is there a law about this, by the way, to Martin's question? I don't even know. I can't even answer that question, to be honest.
Evan, there's multiple laws on this. There's whole sections of the New York labor law and a number of regulations that deal specifically with tip sharing and tip pooling, as well as service charges that are added on to banquets and weddings and things of that nature. This is a very complicated area of the law, and a lot of employers get it wrong all the time. And whether they're getting it wrong intentionally or not, I don't know, but I see it a lot.
Okay, Jason, Pierre, if I had a great server to Martin's question, let's say I'm out with Brian Williams and we each leave $50,000 as a tip. It's happened to me twice, Brian Williams and I have been out together, as you know. Does that go to that individual server or is it pooled? Is there a law about that? Pierre?
In our case, it will go right to the server.
Right to the server.
Same with us.
Same there? Both. Does it have to, or is that your discretion in terms of pooling?
They're serving that table. They get that tip.
Correct.
It's their table. They will, based the way our point of sale system works, the table is assigned to that individual. Their table.
They run the check.
Okay. Boom, done.
The phones are still blowing up, and for anybody who doesn't get through, I suggest you either go to Simply Crepes or edibles, meet with these guys, enjoy their stuff. Call Justin Cordello at the Cordello Law Firm, because we're not going to get through everything. 30 seconds. Overtime an issue as well in your line of work, Justin?
Yes, huge issue. A lot of restaurant employers think if they just do time and a half off the tip credit rate or the sub-minimum wage rate that they're in compliance. Wrong. That's not the way to do it. So I see a
it
lot.
It shouldn't be five, so time and a half would be what, 750? It has to be, what is the overtime rate then? It would be a standard overtime rate based off minimum wage?
Correct, and then take a credit towards the standard minimum wage overtime rate with the tip credit rate.
It sounds like a lot of, it's pretty complicated, but it sounds.
We don't deal with a lot of overtime. Most of our servers are part-time.
Okay.
They're students, they're, you know, people who have second jobs, so, you know.
Yeah, typically in our case, we consider a full-time employee an employee that works 30 hours. With same thing with us. We keep our employees probably in that 30 to 35-hour rate if they're full-time employees.
Okay. Justin, do we know when the state's going to make a decision on this proposal? Are you tracking? I have no idea when it's going to get done.
It's as far as I know, it's up to the governor at this point to make the decision, and it would be effective at the end of the year.
At the end of this year?
Correct.
Okay.
The right now there's an open forum that the Commissioner of Labor is taking. He's seeking input from all walks of the restaurant industry. And so if individuals want to comment on this, there is the period remains open until February 20th. And so after that comment period exists, then after that, the commissioner will make a recommendation to the governor.
Okay.
Currently, there are about 50 restaurants, and these are employees from, there's been owners as well as back of the house that have come in and made comments. And at this point right now, I know I will be commenting, and I'm encouraging any other restaurant employee, restaurant manager, restaurant owner to get out there and comment to the Commissioner of Labor.
That is effectively the last word. And again, for anybody who's called or comments we couldn't get through, just slammed this hour. The interest in this subject is obviously great, so I hope you'll all come back. Let me thank on the line with us Pete Myers from the Tompkins County Worker Center. Thanks for taking the time.
No problem.
Okay, hopefully he'll come back as well. Pierre, Jason, Simply Crepes, Edibles, good luck to you guys. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
And Justin Cordello, thanks for your expertise. Hope to see you again.
Thanks, Evan.
You can see there's no shortage of interest in this subject. Short break. Don Alhart, Doug Gemblich, Jenny Ryan, Maureen McGuire in local news anchors in studio talking Brian Williams next hour.